When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, one in the book, two to go, plenty more of the big show, as we are joined now by our second guest of the day, and another good one. We don't want to inform Brian on who the first one was, but Brian Brian Weiss joins us right now, KPRC legal analyst, longtime legal expert in the Houston area. We appreciate you spending some time with us, Brian, specifically talking about the O.J. Simpson case and everything that went down yesterday. First and foremost, welcome to the show. And is it fair to say that based on the crime in this case, that he had done enough time that it wasn't surprising that he was paroled?
No, not at all. Fellas, I think my take was something like, oh, my God, breaking news, allies win in World War II, O.J. makes parole. I don't think there was going to be any real question that the juice was going to be turned loose. I think that what we saw on some level, in a sports metaphor, was a makeup call. I think there was a consensus that in light of the fact that O.J. literally got away with murder back in 1995, that the crime and the sentence ultimately assessed were probably a little bit too much, and that after 9 years in custody, that O.J. had earned the right for, as F. Scott Fitzgerald said, a second act in real life.
That's, yeah, I mean, because I was going to say, it almost seems like in the court of public opinion, it was a tit for tat. They're like, look, you may have done too much for this crime, but everybody knows in the back of their mind what you really should be punished for, and that you will never do enough time for that.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I think if any of our listeners watched that incredible 30 for 30 piece O.J. Made in America on ESPN last year, I really think that they made the case that going to prison on some level almost saved O.J.'s life. I know that's a heck of a thing to say, but he was circling the drain on multiple levels, and the fact that he ended up being convicted and going to jail may have almost saved him from a far worse fate.
Hey, Brian, now, when you're in front of that panel, does that panel have specific instructions like, you know, ignore his history, ignore that, you know, suspicion of murder that he wasn't found guilty for, or is that something that they can use when making that decision to let him out or not?
You know, I don't want your listeners' eyes to glaze over thinking they're binge-watching Law and Order, but there are no rules of evidence that apply at a parole hearing. So essentially, anything and everything is fair game. The good, the bad, the ugly, the fact that you got bad numbers during the last rating period or you got office detention in the fifth grade. But they can hear what they want to hear, and they can consider what they want to consider. There were a couple of moments when I did think that O.J. Took more than a minimal amount of liberty with the truth and crafting a backstory of a conflict-free life. But I really believe, guys, that this parole board had already checked the boxes on the parole decision that they had made long before they found themselves on national TV.
Brian, when you look at how everything went down, and obviously there was a lot of conversation, he wants to live in Florida. You know, I think it was way too drawn out in terms of having people, you know, all the things that they could have handled off camera. But at the end of the day, we've had discussions here about and questions about what can he and can't he do. Can he drink as long as he doesn't get caught drinking and driving or doing something against the law? What are some of the ramifications he's still going to face even though he's out on parole?
Well, he faces the same terms and conditions in large part that anybody who walks into court and gets probation gets. Support your dependents. Avoid places or persons of disreputable or harmful character. Don't violate the law. Don't abuse drugs or alcohol. But to the extent that the commissioners can craft any kind of reasonable conditions that will likely keep O.J. from reoffending or violating the terms of his parole, that's fair game. And so to suggest that O.J. is going to have to live a life beyond reproach is not really an overstatement, guys.
I got a question for you, Producer Nick, with you, and we're speaking with Brian Weiss here on ESPN 97.5. Going back to the conviction in 2008, I feel like there's two trains of thought here, or two angles here. Some people say that the judge used all the power within her legal right to kind of make up for the not guilty verdict back in 95. And some people say she abused her power. What say you? Do you think she abused her power, or she used all the power within her legal right to kind of to right a wrong that happened in 1995?
You know, I've been a judge at multiple levels, at the municipal court level and at the county criminal court at law level here in this great county. And what we've learned in judge school is that you have almost unlimited judicial discretion when it comes to assessing punishment. That's why these punishment ranges that we see are so wide, because there are no two offenders or offenses that have the same set of characteristics. But to answer your question, only the good Lord and the sentencing judge knew whether or not she looked back and reset the videotape to 1995 in fashioning her decision. I've been doing this for 37 years. I like to think that great judges are like great home plate umpires in Game 7 of the series. They call balls and strikes. They don't squeeze the strike zone on hitters and pitchers they don't like, and they don't care who wins or loses. But I think you make a good point. I think that there are a bunch of people out there who are listening to us talk today who believe that because of what happened in 1995, that the sentencing judge kind of squeezed the strike zone on O.J.
So what's next for him? I mean, we were talking in the previous segment about him possibly getting a job at the Bunny Ranch because he has to have a job, and is he allowed to drink? I mean, what's next? What does he do? Does he lay low? Does he? What should he do?
Well, let me engage in a minor correction, as I understand it. The parole board recognized that because O.J. was retired when he ultimately caught a case, that qualifies as working at suitable employment, which is a standard condition of probation or parole. So I would expect him, or if I was his lawyer, I would strongly suggest to him that he find a residence in a state where his pension can't be attached, and as I understand it, that's almost any place in the free world, but to disappear as best as he can, to recognize that the O.J. whom the public knows also recognizes that there's a fine line between fame and infamy. And that's a line I think that he crossed with impunity a very long time ago. He's 70. You know, I think one of the considerations the parole board had is that great prosecutors tell juries the only cure for crime is old age. O.J. is not likely to reoffend. Is he likely to engage in knuckleheaded conduct that could wind him back up as a ward of Nevada? Sure. But O.J., if you're listening, trust me, you're getting a second chance. You're being given a second act. Make the most of it. Stay low, fly low, be low.
Brian, I hate to break this to you, but he is listening, because we all know that we're big in the prison circuit, and that's a fact. One of the other questions I was just intrigued by was, I've heard this several times, that from the civil case, from the Goldman Brown case, he still owes them $30-some million. And you just mentioned the pension and the fact that he has NFL pension coming to him that people are guesstimating to be over $2 million. And he's got other means of income that are supposedly coming in. And they said yet he hasn't really made an effort to pay them anything. How then is there a court that gets involved and says, you got to start paying these people and you got to start trying to make restitution for the civil case? It seems like there's no, like, police telling him, hey man, you got to start coughing up some change here.
And it's interesting. I mean, I think there's a part of all of us that wants to say, OJ, you know, sometimes you got to pay what you owe, and he clearly hasn't done that. But the law, whether right or wrong, says that his NFL pension, and I think our listeners need to know, his pension from being a member of the Screen Actors Guild. Remember, all of those Naked Gun movies. Those pensions, as a matter of federal law, may not be attacked. But the Supreme Court has said under the Son of Sam doctrine that he can't benefit from anything that is not exempt. So in other words, if O.J. turns around and writes a book or goes to a memorabilia show and signs autographs, that money, that income is not exempt. And I think that the Goldmans are going to be watching O.J. and what he does like the proverbial hawk.
That's awesome stuff, Brian. We appreciate it. We know you're busy, but we appreciate you taking some time to give us a lot of expertise. Brian Weiss right there, KPRC legal analyst, long time, as you heard, member of the community here in Houston, Texas. Brian, thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Weiss, that was good stuff. All right, we're up against it. We'll take a break real quick, come back with more as we continue to roll on the big show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Out of the category of TMI slash never offer up more than you know will be used to one Barry Laminack, we continue with the show, but I can only let you know that our chat room...
You must have pulled the chat up.
Our chat has just gone completely downhill.
So I decided to give a gander to Backpage.com.
Just the gander.
Shocker.
And I'll be honest with you, it's not that intuitive. So I go to Backpage.com, and you click on, you know, Texas and Houston. And then it's just like anything. It's like Craigslist. It just has, like, local places, community. I thought maybe, you know, you would see, like, escorts under buy-sell trade. No. Automotive, musicians, rentals. I thought maybe escort service, because it's kind of a rental. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, you don't own it. You're just using it for a little while.
So it's a rent-to-own?
Yeah, it's a no. It's a no. No,
it's a
not
rent a center.
Never put a ring on it. Never put a ring on it. And then real estate.
You're talking
no.
about the finger, right?
Okay. Services. It's not under services. Not that I know of. Although they do have massage, so I'm guessing it might be in there. And then not under jobs. But I went to dating. So there's a dating section, and there's a T, Joel. You'll be happy to know there's different categories. There's women. Seeking men seeking women, men seeking men, women seeking women, and tea. I'm guessing tea is your thing.
But yeah.
I just clicked on women seeking men, and then it gives you a disclaimer, and then it's just nothing but ads for escorts, I'm guessing. Because it's like, here's the first one, yummy Asian, new in town, enjoy your time. That doesn't sound like she's looking for a date. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't sound like...
She's looking for yummy Asian. China Garden has the best Chinese food in town. We already have established that.
I'm so glad you attached this to a sponsor.
We love our sponsors.
Here's a Honduran Latina, 19. Okay. But the one I sent you was, yeah. And then they have one that says fun-sized. And I was like, oh, is that a midget?
Well, the one you sent us was fun-sized, that's for sure.
No, I think she, like, I'm like, okay, so is this like just different versions of snacks? Like the midgets are fun-sized and the chubby girls are big grabs? I don't know how that works.
What's weird is, I don't know. I've seen two national stories in the past month where they said that Backpage claimed to be clean and would never... entertain such advertisers as pornographic, and then they went and they followed, like, they went to the actual headquarters. They couldn't find anything, but then they found, like, Offspring secret locations where they did nothing but, and they recorded salespeople that were called, like, they'd find somewhere on, like, the back of a bus or something, they'd find some quote-unquote escort, and they'd go, and they recorded conversations secretly of a salesperson going, this is so-and-so with Backpage. We were wondering if you'd like to get a little bit extra exposure for your marketing campaign. Would you like to consider advertising with us? And just, like, completely... put like a sting operation, brought a whole arm of this down.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't see anything that just says, you know, like, single mom of two looking for love. Nope. This is all like, you know, sweet, sexy caramel chocolate, or I don't know. It's weird. It's not dating. I'll tell you that much. If you're looking for a date, don't go here.
The candy
not
shop?
Not happening.
Caramel and chocolate.
Let me look under. I'll look under the massages as we go to. Oh yeah, it's the same thing. It's totally the same thing.
Hope it's not a message board where a guy named Donnie.
Like, here's one, Alice massage and Katie, and then it's got like a bunch of flower emojis, and then two like apples. I don't know why, or tomatoes. I don't know why these. Why you would put a tomato emoji and then waxing? I don't know what any of that is for, but it's just
wax on, wax off, Danielson.
I guess. I guess. Huh.
Well, now you got something to do with your spare time.
Yeah. This is fascinating.
Do a little Yelp.
Somebody said that. They said, like, what did it say? Whelp was hooker Yelp.
That's good. That was very well done. Well played.
Yeah. You could have just called it help, though, right? Hooker Yelp would be help. Like it. I like it, Walter. Good job.
There you have it. So I guess we haven't talked any Astros yet today. Astros are on the road in Baltimore for a weekend tilt with the Orioles. Colin McHugh scheduled to pitch tomorrow night. But again, Barry, trades happening around Major League Baseball and trades being discussed.
What did I miss? What trade?
Nothing has been. Let me get to last night's. There's rumors now the Red Sox could be trying to land Moustakas from Kansas City.
Which makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Total sense.
Twins closing in, depending on who you talk to about closing in on Atlanta Braves left-hander Jaime Garcia.
Somebody asked me about Tehran the other day, and I don't think they're – I think he's part of the future plans. I think he's off the table for the Braves.
So he might be, but Garcia is all but gone. The rumors are either it's close to done or it is done, that the Twins are going to make a push, and they're going to get Garcia from the Braves. I'm not sure that's enough to do anything for them, but that was on the board last night, and I'm just trying to see if I missed anything else. But the Astros now, from what I heard late last night, there was a deal being discussed in which two names that we've discussed in the past were being mentioned. That would be one Justin Verlander of the Tigers, along with their left-handed relief pitcher, whose name escapes me right now, and I just had it. Who's the lefty reliever from the Tigers that everybody's been after?
Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson.
Right?
There you go. Justin Wilson? Yeah. So Justin Wilson and Justin Verlander are supposedly in the sights of your Houston Astros. So I'm all for that. We've talked about Verlander, but we talked about the price tag. But when you want to talk about a guy with experience that can go out and really eat up some innings with a live fastball that has pitched some big games, I mean, that guy right there, along with the offensive lineup that you've talked about over and over again, I think, yeah, it's a price to pay, but that guy could be huge for the Astros.
What does his contract look like? I remember it not being real pretty.
No, it wasn't pretty. I looked at it. It's over $20 million a year for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, through 2020. He becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2021, and it's guaranteed. I mean, this isn't football. This is baseball. So if you go out and get Verlander, you're committing to, the rest of this year plus 28, 28, and 22 over the next 78 million dollars over the next 3 years. He's not worth that.
No, you know, that's when you and I talked about it the last time, and we were going back and forth, and you were talking about, you know, at least, you know, the fact that the prices are going to go up on all the other guys and everything. But I'm like, yeah, that seems to be not a very advantageous contract in the eyes of one Jim Crane. Jim Crane has looked like he wants value, but he doesn't want to overpay. That would be overpaying in my mind as well. But I'm telling you, in terms of what he would bring back, in terms of a horse that can get to the playoffs and really take you home, he's with experience. Boy, if not for the price tag, boy, he's the perfect guy in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, probably should have won the Cy Young last year. Mm-hmm. Didn't. Porcello ended up getting it. But not having a great year this year, but he's not playing for a great team either. I don't know what kind of run support he's getting. I can look that up. But he's what, 4.5 ERA?
Yeah.
5-7, but on a bad Tigers team. So,
pitching better of late.
Yeah.
He's been pitching better of late. And by the way, half of his contract is because he brings Kate Upton to town as well.
Well, that's good enough for me. Postseason ERA is a bit interesting. His 5-year postseason ERA is a 3.39. Of course, his World Series not so much, 7.20. But what you like about it is he does bring that experience.
Yeah, no question.
You know what I mean, you get a Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray might be a little better this year than Verlander, but he doesn't have that experience. Like, I mean, you can get a pitcher who was second in the Cy Young last year with 2 World Series appearances. You know what I mean? That means something.
No doubt. I'm just going to say, there's a guy that can come in and has experience giving you on short rest 2 starts in a 5-game series or 3 starts in a 7-game series. You know, he's prepared for that. He knows what it takes mentally as well as physically. And he's a guy that, again, just like when you're talking about what McCann and Beltran and those guys bring to the clubhouse during the regular season, here's a guy that can kind of lay it out for the pitching staff too, especially the starters, and say, hey, I've been here, done this. Expect this. You know, feel that.
Prep like this.
Yeah, those are intangibles that are big.
By the way, break up the Dodgers. They lost.
Yeah, finally. For the first time since July 2nd.
Man.
So much for that best record in baseball for the Astros.
And it's crazy. Since July 2nd, they still only have a 10.5 game lead over the Diamondbacks. That tells you how good what the Astros have done and maybe how bad the West is. I mean, the Mariners aren't terrible, nor are the Angels. But to have a 16-game lead and they haven't done anything like what the Dodgers did, pretty damn good.
Yeah, no question. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to continue to roll on. We're at the midway point of the show, so we'll take a short little jaunt to the restroom and to get some refreshments. You do the same. And come on back and join us for the second half of the show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'll be Da Vinci if you be my Mona Lisa and I smile. So pack your bags
real good, baby, because you'll be gone for a while. From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, and Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Kind of following up on the discussion that we had last segment about the Astros and the trade deadline and the rumors that are flying mainly around Houston's pursuit of pitching. ESPN Insider did a poll of their 6 main writers to ask where the 6 most sought-after free agents would end up by the deadline on July 31st. First one was Sonny Gray, a name that we're hearing a lot about. Kind of shocking, Barry. Of the 6 votes, the Astros and A's had 1 apiece. So did the Indians. Do you know who led with 2?
Was it the Cubs or the Yankees?
Milwaukee.
What?
Yeah. They said Milwaukee has the depth of prospects to get a deal done, and because of the small market team, Gray can front their rotation beyond this season, unlike moves in the past when they went after Sabathia, but they knew he was going to jump ship after the playoff run. Zach Greinke stayed there a couple of years, but this looks like another one of those cases where they hope that they go get him with prospects and he stays, which is interesting.
Okay.
The only writer to say Houston was Jerry Krasnick, who said Houston is intent on adding a starter, and barring a late addition to the market, he is the best one out there. I don't think you agree with that.
Not necessarily, and I mean, it doesn't mean I'm right, you know?
It depends on if Cole's on the market or not.
What's that?
It depends on if Cole is actually on the market or not. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny because you kind of have to look at that. In last segment, we were talking about the Mariners and the lead that the Astros have over them at 16 games or 16 and a half, whatever it was. They're 2.5 out of the wild card. So you see these teams that are down in the division, but the Mariners, Angels are 2.5 and 3.5. Even the Athletics are only 6.5 out of the wild card. Not great hopes that they got to jump so many teams.
They're so bad, and yet they're still that close.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you see some of these teams, and you think there are a lot of buyers. I mean, the Pirates are only 7.5 out of the wild card. They would have to leapfrog the Cubs and hope the Rockies or the Diamondbacks falter because they're tied.
Right.
Overcoming 2 of those 3 teams is going to be difficult. But you get on a hot streak. I mean, you look at the streak the Dodgers just went on. I'm not saying the Pirates could equal what the Dodgers did, but they're getting Starling Marte back. They get, you know, if they keep Cole, maybe add a batter, a pitcher, or whatever, they could make a run.
Let me validate that for you, because according to the next guy on the list was Andrew McCutchen. And the verdict by every single writer was Pittsburgh, because of exactly what you're saying. They're making a charge.
Okay.
They don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's out, or the Pirates are. As you said, Starling Marte is coming back. Pirates are in a division that's still winnable. They're getting hot, and the Central's up for grabs. So basically, echoing everything you just said, they all believe McCutchen stays, which I believe would also lend itself to saying that Cole stays. Okay.
Yeah.
Next on the list.
And Watson. Tony Watson, that bullpen help that I brought up a couple times.
He's
another lefty out of that pen that if they're not getting rid of McCutchen's or Cole, then they're keeping him too. So.
No, you're right. Orioles closer Zach Britton, who we've discussed on this show. Next. Verdict. Orioles 2, which means he stays put. Dodgers 2. Red Sox 1. No Astros.
And I've seen him mentioned for the Astros. In fact, Buster Olney was just talking about. Buster Olney was saying how you add Britton to the Astros bullpen, which is already pretty good, and you've set up a Cleveland situation or the Cubs situation where they added Chapman or Miller down the stretch. Britton is as good as they come as far as closing out games. I mean, he's in the upper echelon. He's
Barry, but when he's healthy. We talk about how the starters this year, obviously for obvious reasons and injuries, haven't been able to really get consistently past the fifth or sixth inning. But that allows you that opportunity to be able to cover for that. Because if you add Britton to the lineup that you already have, when you talk about Gregerson, when you talk about the guys that can come in out of the pen that can give you an inning, Davinsky included, but Will Harris, all the way to the closing position, regardless of who you have closing, you can now maybe go four straight innings where each guy gets an inning, and that bullpen is as formidable as anybody in baseball to say, you know what, we got this. We're going to be okay. And with that offensive power and the lineup that they put out there, that may be the actual end-all, be-all remedy for whatever pitching woes they've experienced this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been preaching it for a while. If you can extend the bullpen, you don't need to go chase a starter. And I know some people have been saying I'm crazy, but if your bullpen is good enough, you don't necessarily have to have three aces in the playoffs, because if you go in with Fires as your three and Peacock as a backup plan, and between the two of them, if they can get you to the fourth or fifth inning, then yeah, if you add a Zach Britton to the back end of that bullpen, you push everyone up an inning, and now it's Giles in the eighth and Gregerson in the seventh, if some people don't like him, but that's all right. Harris.
Everybody moves down. You're saying if Britton is your ninth, Giles is your eighth, Gregerson's your seventh, Will Harris could be your sixth, Devo could be your fifth. And any combination with Devo and Harris, and if it's situational, you can always, go to somebody else. Yeah, but absolutely, there's many different ways to skin a cat and get to this end result that you're looking for. And to your point, too, I retweeted it. Buster Olney disagrees with these people and basically said the Astros were knee deep in the Britton discussions, and someone said, what would it take? And Buster only said two words, Martez. So if that's the case, I'm good with it. You go ahead and do that right now.
I'm going after Zach Britton if I have the opportunity to do that. I'm going to pull up his contract, because I'd be interested in.
What's Martez's first name again?
Francis?
Francis Martez. He said those are the two words. Francis Martez, that's all. That's basically what would be the centerpiece of the package. I'm good. Let's do that. Other ones on this list while you look that up. Yonder Alonso from the A's. Royals 2, Yankees 2, Twins other in there. And then Verlander comes up. And all six guys say the Tigers. A combination of his age, his walk rate, which is nearly double a year ago, and his salary will keep him right where he is. And then a wild card named Jeff Samardzija, which may surprise you. He either stays with the Giants or he goes to Houston. So that's surprising, but they said basically the ones that said he stays with the Giants is exactly why I think Jim Crane and the Astros would not do that deal. It's because he has to whoever takes him on has to take on a 3-year, $54 million contract that is not going to go over very well with management.
I've got Britton's contract. He's got 11.4 million base salary this year. He's arbitration eligible. It'll be his third year of arbitration in 2018, and then after that is when he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2019. So,
yeah. All right. So
you would basically be getting him if you do that trade. If you get rid of Martez, you're doing that for basically a year plus for Zach Britton, and then with hopes, I guess, that you could sign him, but. I don't know. Long term, do you have what the question becomes? Do you keep Giles, right? Because Giles is a closer, but can you flip Giles for a prospect or a player or some? Can you include Giles to go out and get a frontline starter maybe as a trade?
Yeah, so, and is there any way to get at least remotely the value you gave up to get him? And if you could do that, and you can flip him for Britton, then it's something that you definitely have to consider because Britton has already proven himself. Where as we've talked about, as much as there's a ton of potential with Giles. You know, that he has his moments. So, you know, you have to consider and weigh all that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, what did they give up for Ken Giles? They gave up Vincent Velasquez, Brett Oberholzer, and I forget who else.
You're right, because Velasquez had like a one-hitter and then blew out his arm.
Yeah.
I know that because he was one of their top prospects, and he got off to just a house of fire start and then had arm problems. And I don't know if he's even back yet, but.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Instead of Fisher, I pulled it up. The final deal was a little different. Instead of Derek Fisher, they got Mark Appel. That's what it was. They got Mark Appel, and they gave away Mark Appel and Vincent Velasquez for Ken Giles. So, yeah, if you could flip Giles for a starter, and you gave up Mark Appel and Vincent Velasquez to do it and Brett Oberholzer, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That'd be good.
Absolutely. All right, so if you guys want to talk Astros or anything else, hit us up, 713-780-ESPN, where you can text, you can call, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mack, as we all know, is pursuing buying the Rockets. He's also always been a huge supporter of Houston sports, and right now, because of your Astros and the fact that there's a good chance they could win it all, it could really pay off for you as well. Because right now, if you go to Gallery Furniture and you buy $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture, including adjustable bases, Tempur-Pedic and Macapedic mattresses, and a whole lot more, and the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get your bedroom furniture absolutely free. Go to GalleryFurniture.com for more details, but it's just another way that Mattress Mack tries to make a deal that at the end of the day or at the end of the year can really pay off in your future. The other thing you got to take into consideration is the fact that Mac always makes sure his furniture is quality. It's built to last. That means it's American made. Living room furniture, dining room furniture, furniture for your man cave, including leather and upholstered furniture. It's all there at Gallery Furniture. And now they have three locations to better serve you. You can head Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland if you're out on the south side. You can go right to the heart of the gallery at Westheimer and Post Oak. And you can head out to I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. The mainstay location where Mac sits at the front desk puts you in the capable hands of his sales staff where they are attentive. They pay attention to the needs and what you're looking for, styles, etc. Make sure they show you what you got. And if you buy today, you get it tonight. That's just how they do business at Gallery Furniture. It's a 3 to 4 hour window from the time you purchase to the time they deliver your furniture. And when they deliver your furniture and you think that, hey, I need to really get that rid of that sofa or I'd like to move that refrigerator over here, all you got to do is talk to his people that come out and do the deliveries. They'll take care of you that way too because it's service before, during, and after the sale because Mac wants you to be a return customer. He's been in the market for 36 plus years and he ain't going anywhere and he knows you aren't either. So he hopes that it's a relationship that will last a lifetime. Check out Gallery Furniture today at one of those three locations because Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects till 4 ESPN 97.5 as breaking news comes in from both Woj and Brian Windhorst. According to those sources, Kyrie Irving requested a trade from the Cavaliers. Sources have told ESPN LeBron James blindsided and disappointed. Your guys' thoughts?
One, I can't wait to get all the texts and tweets asking about the Rockets going and getting Kyrie Irving.
Because they need a third ball handler.
Yeah, well, they've got 19 small forwards. They might as well have 55 ball handlers. Do I sound cynical at all?
A little bit.
I mean, it's surprising a little bit, but back in mid-June, there was an article by Dan Feldman that talked about Kyrie might push for a trade if LeBron leaves. And you saying that LeBron is, you know, caught off guard by it is surprising a little bit. Because my first thought when I heard the news was, well, maybe LeBron told Kyrie Irving, hey, I'm probably going to opt out after next year, so do what you got to do, Playboy. And then Irving, you know, made the decision based off of that. But if LeBron is, you know, blindsided by it, then maybe that's not the case, unless he just in casual conversation mentioned it and Irving decided on his own without, you know, talking with LeBron that, well, I'm not going to stick around if he's not.
Well, and the direct quote that Irving had the other day when I said that he thought the Cavs were in a peculiar circumstance when questioned about where they go from here, he said, I understand we're in a very peculiar place. We just have to, you know, make sure that all our pieces are aligned first, and then we go from there. It's the summertime, a lot of craziness going on in the NBA, and that almost indicates, hey, if LeBron's going to leave his future up in the air, that doesn't exactly solidify what they're trying to do in Cleveland. And whether you believe it or not, I mean, this guy has the best handles in the NBA and is a top talent. And you got to believe,
I mean,
that
he's all right.
Wow. I mean, the thing to me is that if you don't have LeBron there, do you really want to play in Cleveland? Because he's been there and done that, and it's not a very smooth sailing ship when LeBron is somewhere else and you're left to carry the franchise in Cleveland. But there are plenty of opportunities out there. And i.e., when everybody looks to where to go, they don't want to go to New York anymore because the Knicks suck. So you look to L.A. and you go, oh, by the way, Chris Paul just left the Clippers. How good of a fit would that be? If you do want to go to L.A., because, of course, the Lakers have Lonzo Ball now, and they're going to build around him. But, wow, I mean, there's opportunities out there to be had. And, of course, once you've won it, you kind of relax on, you know, you obviously want to win more, but you relax on that and concentrate a little bit more on where can I maximize everything, my marketing dollars, my endorsement deals, play in a great city, get a lot of attention, and, of course, I can be the cornerstone of the franchise. They're out there, as we know, so that'll be real interesting to see how that whole situation plays out, because unless you're a role player just happy to be there, if you're Kevin Love, who's been shopped ever since the finals got over and probably before that, or Kyrie Irving, you got to say, come on, man. I mean, we went through this once and he skipped town. You know, now, unless we win it every year, we're going to have to sit there and not only be the center of trade talks, but at the end of the day, LeBron may just jump ship again because he's done it before, so the track record's there.
Yeah, these hoes ain't loyal. He's going to go where he wants to. He's LeBron. He can do what he wants.
To Houston.
Stop it. By the way, speaking of silly things, did you see this article on ESPN about Dikembe Mutombo interested in Rockets ownership?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but the fact of the matter is he's interested, but he hasn't figured out who he can bring in that can bring that kind of money to the table so that they can solidify making an offer.
What do you think of that, Joel?
I mean, look.
I'm not a fan of it. I'm just going to say it straight out.
I'm not.
As you said, we talked about it. I don't remember us talking about this.
Well, I brought up the day after the Tillman Fertitta and Mattress Mac that the third member the third person that's being talked about as putting a group together was Dikembe. We didn't go like in detail about it, but we mentioned it. But in talking about Nick, to your point of asking what do I think about it, I think look, Dikembe, you have to respect it simply because he was close in trying to buy the Atlanta Hawks a couple years ago, and he feels like that's the one that got away. So at the end of the day, we hear Mattress Mac. We certainly hope that he can get a group together, and he says he can. We don't know. At least from the standpoint of believability, Dikembe's already done this once, so you got to believe he can do it again.
And I saw a tweet. I don't think it was a tweet. I don't know. Maybe even Facebook, whatever. Something's saying that, you know, Daryl Morey was maybe looking to put a group together to buy the Rockets.
Oh, did you hear about all that yesterday? I guess you were out of town.
I didn't.
And didn't hear about it. So CEO of the Rockets.
Was that a rumor?
Well, so CEO of the Rockets, Tad Brown, just because he wants the attention, tweets out like in the morning, oh my God, dot, dot, dot. So you get all the Red Nation Kool-Aid drinkers to just think, is it Carmelo? What's the deal? Oh, why are you upset? But and all day, just fueling it. And then all of a sudden, he has to go out with two tweets to refute the fact that Peter Vesey said Daryl Morey was interested, and also a group of current front office members of the Houston Rockets interested in putting together groups to try and purchase the Houston Rockets. And he dispelled all of that, saying Daryl is not, I am not, and we are not. We're focused on getting Leslie Alexander the best deal possible, because Tad is the point person to handle all of the offers coming in. So he shot all that down.
Okay, good. Yeah. Just checking. Somebody had a good question about the Rockets and ownership. If Metro Mac buys the Rockets, wouldn't he have to stop his offer of if the Rockets win, you win? Wouldn't that be a conflict of interest? Not necessarily.
Well, he doesn't do that for the Rockets, though. Because he's not.
Yeah, but I mean, he could, right?
No, I mean, he can't. He couldn't use the Rockets' marks or name like he does the Astros, or he could do with the Texans, because he is a corporate sponsor of both the Astros and the Texans. But he is not a current sponsor of the Rockets, and in recent
years,
but if
he owns them, I mean, obviously he's going to be advertising Mattress Mac.
Well, or then at that Gallery point, Furniture. Yeah, then you cross that bridge when you come to it. But I think, you know, and I didn't obviously wasn't going to say this in talking about things with Mac, but I think that one of the obstacles he's going to face is the fact that there have been times when the relationship between Mac and the Rockets, ever since the Westside Tennis Center went away, and he was not a sponsor of the Rockets anymore, that it was like oil and water. And I think Les is a good enough businessman that if Mac makes the best offer, he'll take it. But
right.
I do question at times whether that would be a factor at some point.
Okay. All right, yeah, that'll be interesting. I just don't know about a conflict of interest and being able to sell mattresses if you own both or doing a giveaway. I mean, certainly you could do that.
Well, there's no doubt they're going to change their colors to red, white, and blue, and he will be the uniform sponsor.
Wouldn't it be great if he made them go out? Remember how I used to wear those Texas flag shirts?
Yeah, or the American flag shirts. So that's going to be the new
uniform.
Wouldn't
it be great if the Rockets are out there in the Texas flag shirt jerseys just because? Wouldn't it be great if they played in mattresses like he used to do?
How sweet would that be?
Just a little mattress tank top?
Well, you know how minor league teams do the
mattress shorts?
Yeah, do the uniforms that look, even though it is a baseball uniform, it's got the print of it. That would be awesome to have the actual tank tops be like the old mattresses that he wore as a costume when he was doing wrestling and stuff, like when you were referencing that back in the day. Just have it look like
that. That's what I was saying. They just dress up like him, like he used to. Yeah,
that'd be
pretty sweet. All right, guys. I want to tell you about my new favorite place to eat in Houston. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Delicious food. They're located at 1901 Taft, right there in Midtown. Go stop by there and check it out. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And I think you're going to love this place if you go give it a shot. It's really good food. And I'll be honest with you, when I first started going there, the first time I went, I was kind of skeptical because I had only had Indian food just the one time, and I didn't like it. I mean, it just wasn't my thing. I couldn't find anything at this place that I had tried. But then I went to Cowboys and Indians, completely changed my mind about Indian food. I'm a fan now. I'm all in. I love it, and I think you will too. And not just me telling you that. Friends have tried it since I've been there, and I was showing pictures about it on Instagram. They went and told me thank you. You listeners that are hearing the ads have gone out there and eaten and told me how good it is. So if you're hearing this and you haven't given them a shot yet, go check out Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Ton of fusion favorites for you. They've got the best butter chicken in Houston. They've got some great quesadillas made with naan bread. They've got this Himalayan heat burger that I think you have to put on the list of must-try burgers in the city of Houston. It's really good, super hot, but delicious as well. They have wings, sliders. If you don't want chicken curry when you go there, they got chicken fried steak or vice versa. It's all delicious, all authentic Indian food made with family recipes. Haas had made me this lamb vindaloo. It was really good. His grandma's recipe, he perfected it. You got to go give that a try as well. They have a full-service bar. And if you don't want to go, I mean, if you don't want to get off the couch, you can order Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub and have it delivered straight to your house. They're located at 1901 Taft. You can get more information on Facebook at CNI713. So do it. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. And guys, if you go out there, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.